Blog Talk Radio.
More days left to the month, and you are here once again with the Tony and Kai Show. We are so awesomely honored that you chose to take this time to be with us tonight with your host, of course, Kai, and my husband. Oh, my goodness, I cannot believe I'm saying that, Tony Wade. Hey, baby, you there?
Hello. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing?
Hey. So, how does it feel to be married, Tony?
Oh, my goodness. You had to ask difficult questions and the interview ain't even started yet.
I know. But, you know, we haven't been on together, really, since we've been married. We came on in January, and then we took a little bit, you know, a little bit more time off, and last week.
A little sabbatical.
Yeah, you know, and then last week I didn't know he was actually in the house, y'all, but he was here listening to me do the show by myself.
And she decided she was going to do the show by herself.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But you know what? You did a good job. I can't even complain. You did a good job. You represent it, girl. You represent it.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, it is official. We are no longer the baddest fiancé duo on online radio, but we are now officially the baddest husband and wife team on online radio.
That's right. That's right.
I'm saying.
Yeah, we got to change that, though, B. We got to change that in the writing. We got to change it.
We got to change that. So, you know, so a lot has gone on and a lot is coming into fruition. We claim 2013 as our year and things have been moving. You know, Tony is 90% done with Vengeance Unleashed. We've got our beta readers reading over it and we're getting great reviews and people are loving it. So we are almost ready to get his first book out there. I'm so excited for you.
Yes, thank you, thank you. I'm excited, too. Book two is just, like, moving, so I got to hurry up and make sure this one is posted out there for people to buy. It's going to be huge, people. It's going to be big. You've got to buy Vengeance Unleashed. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
The second book, I'm really excited about that one already.
He done moved on to book two and hasn't even got book one out yet. See how dedicated he is.
See, that's because when I write book, I write something, the story's in my head already.
Yes.
It's hard.
You won't have to wait long for book two from him because he's already writing it.
That's right.
He's going to have book one and book two out back to back. That is going to be wonderful.
Just about.
That is going to be wonderful. And, of course, my second book is out. Beautiful Seduction dropped in January of this year. So that is out, and I am working on book three. So things are moving along. I started my jewelry business. I am now officially a Tracy Lynn representative. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, y'all got to buy things for mom, sister, daughter, you know. Check your girl out. And, you know, we are back online, back doing the show. So any authors, musicians, businesses, entrepreneurs, whatever you do, hit us up at TonyandKai@yahoo.com or check us out at the TonyandKaiShow.webs.com to see, you know, what we can do for you. But tonight we're going to have an author on, Rocky Rose. We are going to talk to her about her anthology that she did, I Win, You Lose. It's a book that's full of a few short stories that deal with domestic violence. So we're going to talk to her this evening, and we're going to find out, you know, where the idea came from, how it came into fruition, how she got through it. You know how we do with the publishing thing. You know, we're going to find out, is she self-published? Did she, you know, does she got big people behind her? You know, we're going to find all that good stuff out.
Yeah.
We're going to ask the difficult questions because, you know, we keep it real here. You know, if we like it, we're going to say we like it. If we don't, we're going to say we don't. If we got questions, we're going to ask them. You know, this isn't a, you know, petals and roses and flowers show. We keep it real here.
Keep it real.
Tony and I don't always see eye to eye on a book, you know. So, I mean, that's the good. We bring the yin and the yang. You know, that's what we do here.
So, I like you said that. I like
you like that.
What?
See? I love you.
That's why I married you.
So without further ado, anything else? Wait, let me see. Anything else, my love, that you would like to say before we bring on our guest?
No, I'm pretty much set. We're going to expand this show within the next couple. We're going to expand this show, and we're going to do some really big things. It's time to, like, get to where, go way beyond where we've ever been. So I need y'all to stay tuned and be ready because we're about to hit some serious heights here. About to do some stuff that we've never done before. It's going to be a beautiful thing. So just keep tuned. Stay steady. Be ready.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. We got some things coming. So, like I said, without further ado, we are going to bring Rocky on. Hey, hon, you there?
I am. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderfully blessed. How are you?
I'm great, a little under the weather, but I'm good managing.
Oh, that's good. I'm
Rocky,
good.
Rocky, Rocky.
How are you, Tony?
So you're up in Connecticut?
I am.
How is the weather up there?
Hot and making me miserable.
Uh-oh.
See, we from originally up from that way. We from Massachusetts, so.
Yeah, we're right next door.
Yeah. We're down in Virginia now, so. I welcome the coolness up there because they just got a million different things going on down here in Virginia.
Well, I'm actually thinking about relocating to either Maryland or Virginia by the end of the year, so I can't
really?
Wait.
Well,
yes.
If you come down here, bring your bug spray.
Yeah.
Bring your bug spray, bring your Raid, because they have got a million different types of spiders and bugs and little hoppy, crawly, I mean, it's. I told my cousin, why didn't you tell me there were so many types of bugs? I would have moved someplace else. I can't deal with the bugs. Oh. But anywho, that's not what we came to talk about. We didn't come to talk about bugs.
That's a whole other show. Rocky, we have a question for you. I need to know, how did the idea of I Win, You Lose come across? How did that come into fruition?
Well, I was working on my first book, which actually got pushed back and was just released in July. To start, I Win, You Lose was, you know, a compilation between me and an ex-business partner of mine. And I did it as a compilation and as short stories just to get both of our feet wet in the business, you know, in the world of writing. Like, I have been writing since my sophomore year in high school. That's well over 10 years. And she really just started breaking into writing back in January of 2012, I want to say. We had attended a seminar that was given by author T. Styles in Baltimore. And after that seminar, my ex-husband partner, kind of, you know, she was just like, okay, I really want to do this. I really want to do this. So I came up with the idea of doing a, you know, a small compilation just so we can get our feet wet and, you know, get out there with something, you know, small first, just so people know who we are and get a taste of our different writing styles.
All righty. So there were two of you then.
Yes.
And there's like the El Maria was on the cover as well.
Yes. Yep.
All righty. Now, just how many, because, I mean, I read the book this afternoon. I like to be abreast of what's going on. Kaya, she had been read it and,
right,
you know, had it hidden away from me and everything. But, but I was reading it, so it's fresh in my mind. It's and I like it like that. But my question, how many of the stories that were in it, how many of them were written by you?
Three
of them?
Yes.
Okay. And what was your favorite story that you wrote in there?
My favorite story I wrote was Psycho. I had an absolute blast writing Psycho. I didn't want Psycho to end.
Really?
I had so much fun writing that. Like, I'm sitting here writing it. I'm on my computer. I'm writing it. And I wrote that story during a period of time where I lost both my grandmothers last year within, like, a month and a half within each other.
Okay.
So when my mother's mother passed away, I had like a week and a half off of work, and I really banged that story out within about a week. And I I would get my daughter up, bring her to daycare, come home, shower, act like I'm going out. So my mind was like I'm going to work, and my work was my computer, and I had so much fun writing that story. Like, the things that came through my mind for that story was kind of scaring me almost. And that's how I knew it was good. I said, you know what? I said, I have issues. So when I'm laughing at certain parts of the story. I'm getting mad at certain parts of the story. And I think when an author puts that emotion into the story, any type of emotion that they can feel, I think your readers are going to feel it as well.
See, and that's how I think. That's exactly how I think, because you're going to come across, the way that you come across, for the most part, is the way that the readers are going to get it. So
exactly.
You want to write it, you know, with that, and you want to pour it in. I'm experiencing that myself right now with my second book. So it's very true what you're saying. Give us a little brief, mini synopsis of what Psycho is about.
Psycho is about this deranged guy who's having a full-fledged relationship with the main character, and it almost reminded me of the movie Obsessed with Beyonce and Idris Elba.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the chick that was the assistant, and she just wouldn't stop. But this
right.
dude had a full-fledged relationship with the main character, and he's the only one that knew about it. And it's like, no
what?
Matter however many hints or however many times he told him, like, yo, we're not together, we're not a couple, all we did was we met, we had a couple of conversations, and that was it. Like, there was nothing else to be had from that. Like, the night, like, when they had the night in the club, when he rolled up on her, yoked her up in the club because she was dancing with somebody else, like, come on, really, dude? And it's
mm-hmm.
crazy because some of the stuff that I have in my stories in there, I actually went through in real life. So my characters in a lot of my stories, I put them through things that I've been through personally because I have firsthand experience with it. And I think it makes it that much more authentic to the reader when the author, you know, puts a little bit of themselves in their work.
Okay.
Personal experiences, you know.
Okay. Now, I just thought I hopscotch around. That's what I do. I like pick and choose. The one that got me was Karma. I went to Karma. I was reading that. Now, halfway through, I wanted Saul gone. halfway through it, I wanted to cut Saul myself. I really did. And the ending was kind of, it kind of hit me. It kind of was like, oh, okay. All right, I see, okay. But what was the drive behind Karma?
You know what, Elmer Reed wrote Karma, so I can't even really speak on Karma. I wrote Psycho, Light at the End of the Tunnel, and Bye Baby.
Okay.
But
okay.
I can say this, though. I can say this about her stories. Her stories had a lot of what she went through in her life growing up.
Ooh. Who was the editor for your book? Who did the two of you choose as your editor?
I chose Allison Deese out of North Carolina.
Okay.
I know for me, and I put it when I did the review, I loved all of the stories. The only part I wished was the endings on some of them were so abrupt that it left me lingering. What you said about Psycho, where you wanted to keep going and keep going and keep going. I think a lot of the stories left me feeling that way. It was like you got into it, you found out, you know, how these two people met, what went wrong, you know, definitely why they did not need to be together.
Right.
And then, you know, at that part where everything changes and, you know, the climax happened, that kind of felt rushed to me in some of the stories. And that was the only real issue for me that I had, because I wished a lot of them could have been full novels on their own or fuller novelettes on their own,
right.
You know, especially Psycho. That one right there definitely could have been its own. Take that out and make it its own book.
I'm glad you said that because I was actually going through that today. Like, I go through a lot of things in my head, and I have to, like, I work on so many different projects at one time. I have to pace myself. And I'll be out of work until, like, I think the beginning of September because I'm expecting, and this nausea and morning sickness is just having me on my behind. But
congratulations.
Thank you. I got a lot of feedback from a lot of people saying they wish Psycho was a full novel. So what I said I want to do, being that I have so much fun with it, and I know I can add so many more twists and turns with it,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to release that as a novelette by itself.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Because my characters didn't want me to stop it there, and I really had an argument with my characters. I'm like, listen, I mean, you cannot take over the whole book. This is not just your show, so calm down, and I got you, you know? You be the characters, I be the author. We got to come to some type of mutual agreement. So I'm going to bring them back in their own world, in their own book or whatever. So I'm going to be brainstorming some more twists and turns for that.
That's great. Now, what else do you have? What other books do you have available other than this one for people to read? And what else are you working on other than bringing Psycho to a full novel?
Like, as I'm bringing Psycho to a full novel, I'm also working. The other stories I have in there, Bye Baby and Light at the End of the Tunnel, I want to make those a little longer as well. And I might introduce some new things, new conflicts and everything to those as well. Because, like, I really had fun with all of the stories that I wrote. But out of all of them, Psycho was the best. But I'm working on I When You Lose 2 with just my stories, and I'm adding a couple of new stories in there.
Okay.
I have out my book, which I pushed back, My Me and My Abuser, which actually is a story of 3 years in my personal life that I was in an abusive relationship. And I just went through hell and high water with this dude. And I suffered two miscarriages with him. I fought a case behind him. It was a mess.
Wow.
And I'm also working on the sequel to My Me and My Abuser, Stirred and Shaken.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's funny, and I shouldn't say funny, it probably isn't the correct word, but there is so much realism, especially when with the subject of domestic violence, when authors write about it, we have so it's still so much of a taboo topic, and you know it gets swept under the rug so much, it gets shrugged off. You know, we as women will see another woman belittling her man and think nothing of it, but if a man does the same thing to a woman, he's a dog, he's a jerk, he's a this or he's a that.
Right.
You know, we'll see mothers and fathers, you know, irate with their children out in public, and that's, you know, no big deal. There's so many things in our culture that, you know, we think is okay until it directly affects us.
Exactly.
You know, it's crazy.
And domestic violence, you know, I went through it myself, but I also lost an aunt to it back in 82, 3 years before I was born. An aunt of mine was murdered by one of her ex-boyfriends because he was jealous, and he had the mentality, same mentality my ex had, if I can't have you, nobody can have you. And
he
kidnapped her in broad daylight and brought her to one of the local hotels, tied her to a chair and threw her in the Quinnipiac River here in Connecticut. And the whole time I was going through that period, that relationship period within 3 years, every fight we would have, every time I would end up in the hospital, or every time, you know, I would look at black and blue marks all over my body, I thought about my aunt. And I said, I can't end up like her because she was murdered in her early 20s.
Wow.
Like her early 20s. And I just turned 28 back in May. And I'm like, I can't. I want to live to see my children. You know, I want to live to have children. I want to live to see my children have children. I want to live to enjoy life and everything that, you know, life has to offer. And the night my ex tried to kill me, I said, I'm sitting in my jail cell, and I'm like, okay, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore. I said, we didn't have fights. I done suffered two miscarriages already. I said, I can't go on living like this.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, I know for our listeners and everything, we're getting a little personal, but domestic violence is a really big thing. It's a huge thing, and it's comforting for some to know that they're not the only ones that have gone through it out there. You had to endure this for a minute. Did you draw strength from any particular source in order to get out of the situation you were in?
Not really. I mean, the night he tried to kill me was enough for me because, you know what, that I had to go see the judge the next morning. Thankfully, it happened on a Thursday and not a Friday. But that Friday morning when I faced the judge, and the judge was like, you know, if either one of us pressed charges on the other, we would both end up doing time in jail. And I'm just like, you know what, at that point, I was like, I don't even care. I said, maybe the time away from everybody and my family and everything will be good for me because, you know, certain family members, when I would tell them what I was going through, they would have comments like, well, stop doing things or saying things to make him act out that way. And I'm looking at him sideways, and I'm like, excuse me? Like, when is it? I don't care. Like, me, I don't hold my tongue for anybody. If I have something to say, I'm going to say it. I might not always say it in the right tone or in the right way, but I'm going to get my message across. And sometimes he would take things out on me that had nothing to do with me. Like his aunt or his mother might piss him off. So instead of taking it out on them, because he couldn't, he would take it out on me. And during that time is when I really began, like, really getting serious about my writing because I didn't have anyone to talk to. So I would release my feelings and emotions through my writing.
Wow.
And you said that, and it's, I'm not even going to, we're going to have another show on domestic violence when we expand it to an hour because, I mean, what you said right there is so the core of domestic violence that, you know, it's not always, you know, we try to help her and she or he doesn't want to get out. A lot of times you get family members or even friends or people from the outside that really make you feel that it's your fault. You know,
exactly.
He hit you. Well, what did you do? Well, what did you say? You know, well, why wasn't his dinner ready? Or, you know, why'd you leave your shoes there? Like, really? So he has the right or she has the right? Really? You know, and you,
way, you know, exactly.
It's crazy that you really have people in our society today that still feel like, well, you must have done something, you know. you know, or don't give up the good life you have just because he's hitting you. You know, you got a home, you got a car, he's got a job, he's taking care of you. Just try not to make him mad. You know, it's really, really disheartening that there's people out there still like that.
It's funny because, well, him and I were dealing with each other. He didn't have anything like that. Like, literally, I was holding down two jobs. I had my own car. His thing was he was very much intimidated by me. So here I am, 19 years old. I have two jobs. I have my own car. I'm making my own money. I don't ask for anything. I was never the type to really have my hand out from anybody, parents or anybody. So it was like I'm holding my own down, and here you come. And I still to this day sometimes ask myself what I was thinking dealing with him for as long as I did.
Mm.
Because, you know, certain components of the relationship were just whack. And it's just like, I just asked myself, what was I thinking? But I thank God I went through it because it made me a stronger person. And it made my drive, it made my drive to bring domestic violence awareness to those around me. Like, a lot of my family members didn't know I was going through it until the night I caught my case.
Let everybody know where they can get in touch with you. Give them your links, your Facebook, your Amazon. Let them know where they can get in touch with you and where they can get a copy of your book from.
I'm selling both copies myself right now, or you can get them on Amazon.com. My Facebook is Rocky R. The Writer, or you can type in Rocky Chris Rose. My Instagram is at author Rocky Rose. My Twitter is at NaughtyRocky85. If you want to email me, you can email me at RockyTheWriter@yahoo.com. RockyD as in dog, A, writer, WRITER@yahoo.com.
Awesome, awesome. We want to definitely thank you for giving us the opportunity to read your book and to share you with our readers. And we would also say to anyone who's listening to definitely check out her book. I think it's well worth it. Check out her, hit her up on Facebook, and keep in touch. You know, we're definitely going to bring her back. We're also, you know, we're going to keep in touch and you know, and do what we do.
That's right. We definitely got to have her back. This is a big topic. So we expecting it to go where it went. So that's how we do on the Tony and Kai show. This is how we do. We end up going somewhere. Now, I'm saying in a couple of weeks, and that's how I wanted to try to get this. But in a couple of weeks, we're going to expand the show. When we do, we're going to have a big show. I mean a big show on domestic violence. So, Rocky, you definitely got to come back. You got to come back.
Absolutely.
We'll keep everybody posted. We're going to blast your book on Sweet Reads, which is our company, one of our company heads. And we're going to keep everybody posted. We want everybody to know what's going on with our shows. We are also going to do an open mic night on our show, Wild Poetry.
Yes.
We're going to do that. I wanted to throw that out there because poetry is a big thing, you know, in our neighborhood. It's what we do. So we're also going to do that. But we're going to have everyone back. We got to have everyone back. It's time to get big and outrageous with our shows.
Yes, it is. It's time to, you know, expand and go beyond where we've gone.
Yes.
But for now, every Monday night, we've got poet Shayna Jay. Next Monday night, author Orsina Danielle. The Monday after that. And then after that, anyone who is looking for some exposure, definitely get in touch. Hit us up on Facebook, the Facebook.com, Tony and Kai Show, Tony and Kai Show.webs, or Tony and Kai at Yahoo.com. And let us know that you're interested in being on the show Monday night, 6:30 for right now. And like Tony said, hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we will be able to expand, and that will give us a different time zone and more times to work with. But until then, Monday night, 6:30 is where you can find us here. And again,
thank you so much, Rocky. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You are so, so, so very welcome. Thank you for all of our guests in the chat room and everybody online listening in and everyone on the phone listening in.
DK, we love you, bro. We love you, man.
Talk to you all next week.
We will talk to you all later. God bless.